be here this morning. I hope you're glad to be here and trusting the Lord to give us something from His Word. We already got that in Sunday school this morning. I really enjoyed that, Brother Lee, in Sunday school. And so thank God for that. Enjoyed the good singing. Always enjoy singing, gets us ready for the preaching too. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, in the fourth chapter. Acts chapter number 4. I would love to read all 37 verses, but I do not have time to do that. I do not have time to preach those 37 verses either, but I would like to do that. But I think we'll read maybe about 4 verses and then skip around and read a few verses. Pray for the pastor. He had called me, I think it was last week, about filling in this morning. I think, Brother Ben, you're going to fill in tonight. And so I'm always glad to do that when we get an opportunity to do so. I was over here not long ago at the last Preacher's Fellowship. I'm trying to figure out a way to put me a marker up there on that road so I won't go all the way to Franklin before I turn in. I always at night have a hard time, especially when it's raining and foggy, And I can't see that well. And I turned in, I think, the Preacher's Fellowship before, I think I turned in about 3 roads before I finally turned into the right one. I know when it's right, but I just can't see that well. I was going home the last Pastor's Fellowship, and I got up here to Hayesville. And is it 60 that goes to Young Harris? There's a right in there. I could not tell where that road was. And so I really was just aiming. I knew, I saw the sign, but it was so foggy. And I just could not see that thing. And I went in on the left side of the medium. I was supposed to be on the right side, and at the same time, the ambulance was coming this way on 64, turning in toward the hospital, and they had the lights on and the siren, and I said, well, he's sitting right there looking at me, watch me turn in on the wrong side. He's going to stop and make me take a breathalyzer, make sure I'm not drunk. But it wasn't. That wasn't what I said. But I got to thinking. I said, well, how in the world? He didn't know why I was turning no more than I did. He can't see any better than I did. But anyway, that trip home was rough and trying to see and all. But anyway, we're glad. Gail and I are glad to be here with you today. Acts chapter number 4. Now, do y'all stand when we read? I didn't know if y'all did or you didn't, but do what you normally do, okay? And some places do and some places don't. And when I'm reading at home, I'm usually in my recliner. And so I don't stand every time I read. But anyway, let's read. Let's read 4 verses here. And then we'll be seated, okay? Verse number 1 in chapter number 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them. Now, let me just say this. They were not anointing them with oil. Okay? And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Please pay careful attention to this verse. Believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And let's just skip about, read two or three more verses. Skip down to verse number 12, if you would. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, that is their message. That is my message. That is your message. That is the message of the Word of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus said it this way. Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, notice they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now let's skip down to verse number 23. I challenge you to go home and study and read all of the chapter. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let me just insert this. Here, the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that you speak the Word of God with boldness. Isn't that what it says right here? Verse number 34 and 35, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on this subject. Whenever there are hindrances from hell, there's always help from heaven. All right? You'll see this several times. We pointed this out as we read the scripture this morning, that they were trying their best, the chief priests and the Sadducees, and these people were doing their best to silence the men of God from preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And so when they do that, that is a hindrance from hell. But thank God, I have found this to be true, when I am hindered from help, thank God there's always help coming from heaven. And so when we read and when we study and when we give ourselves to this book of Acts, we find out something here very, very quickly. That the book of Acts is not a dull book by any stretch of the imagination. We find out that this book is full of action. We find out that it's full of something taking place. It's full of something that is taking place that is just very exciting to me and exciting to you. But if we're not careful, there'll be some things in this book of Acts that will disturb us. If we're not careful, it will intimidate us when we see the many miracles that were done by the power of God and being demonstrated by the power of God. And so we see the power of God and we see the miracles that are taking place. Why do we see that, Brother Brown? We see these miracles simply because we find that these men and women were yielding themselves and they were being guided and they were being led by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, especially in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts here, it sure does look like that these people have been set on fire from heaven. And I want to say this morning that that is what needs to happen to me. And I want to say this morning that this is also what needs to happen to you. We need to be set on fire from heaven on high. Now, we sometimes look and believe that the early church was made up of superhumans and not like us at all. In other words, we get the idea sometimes of them doing the things that they were able to do, that maybe they were super, something different about them than is with you and I. But the Bible makes it very, very plain that they were human beings just like you and just like me. The only difference was they were getting their help from heaven and they were in tune with the will of God. There are two statements, maybe, I don't know if you want to write them, you can. I've already mentioned them. But there are two statements that I believe that sum up the entire chapter of this fourth chapter of the book of Acts. They were subject to and continually having problems and hindrances from hell. The devil was letting them know that he was real. And how many times does that happen in my life? And how many times does that happen in your life? But I have found this to be true. It was true with them. And I have found it also to be true in my own life when that happens. Thank God, help from heaven is on the way. Now, four times in this chapter, we are told and we have the scripture that reveals to us about their help from heaven. So I'm going to give these four things to you and give you the verse of scripture that we have already read and then come back and make some comments on them. First of all, if you would look with me, please, in verse number 13, you'll find out that they got help from heaven when they stood to preach. There it is, right there in verse number 13. Notice with me the marvel when they stood to preach. Now notice with me secondly in the 23rd verse, and the phrase says, and being let go. Notice with me that phrase, they had help from heaven when they stayed in their place. And they did what God expected them to do. Notice with me the third thing this morning found in verse number 31. They had help from heaven when they started to pray. Can I ask you this, Brother Dave? How many times have we ever prayed and got help from heaven when we prayed? Amen. And so then, if you'll look at verse 34 and verse number 35, they had help from heaven when they shared their possessions. They shared their possessions with others. And so let's look, first of all, at verse number 13. They had help from heaven when they stood to preach. Now notice in the 13th verse, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so I'm telling you, it is important if we're saved by the grace of God that others take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. Now, this has happened a few times in my life. Maybe it has happened a few times in your life. But I was in the Paddock Mall in Ocala, Florida, and I was doing a little bit of waiting, like is so common for us to do when we have a wife that is shopping in the mall. And so I'm standing out next to the water fountain that's just spewing out water. I'm standing out there, and while I'm there, a man motions to me. He's a little older than I am. I wasn't quite as decrepit. I'm probably more decrepit than he is now, but at that time, he was a little bit older and further along than myself. And so he motioned me over there. I went over to where he was, and he said this to me. He said, "Sir," said, "you're a Christian, aren't you?" And I don't know, what would you do? I mean, I'm really just kind of beaming. And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And I said, "How did you know?" He said, "Oh, it's obvious." And we got to talking one to another. And I'm just saying that others ought to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ in us and glorify Him which is in heaven. I mean, this is something that I was not forcing out. It was something that I didn't even know that anybody was paying attention to. But it made me feel good in myself when I said, "You know, I'm not just here trying to be a Christian, but somehow or another, it's oozing out. And I just want to say that it ought to be oozing out of you and me in our everyday life. And so they had taken knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Notice that our verse says that Peter and John were bold in doing this. What this, in other words, this, they are letting us know that this is something that was not just an everyday happening in their life. They took notice that they were bold, and they were bold especially in spiritual matters. In other words, they are describing of them that they had a source of spiritual strength that is outside of themselves. That is something that you and I have when they take knowledge that we have been with Jesus, because this is a source of strength that is outside of ourselves, outside of themselves, but actually, Brother Lee, coming from within themselves. This was not something they had to say about themselves. This was something that others said about them, amen, that they had been with Jesus. I was in a preacher's meeting some time ago. I was sitting by another preacher. None of this is necessary. I could say to you the preacher that was preaching, and I could say to you the preacher that was sitting beside me. And he was just preaching, and it seemed to be just a matter of fact. And the preacher that was sitting beside me punched me. And he said this to me. He said, "Brother Brown, I remember when this man preached with God on him." Now, I didn't say that he didn't have God on him, but this man was insinuating that this was as dry as last year's bird nest, and he was saying this man was lacking something. He was saying that this man had preached with so much more fervor in his past. To go on with the situation is this, that this man is not in the ministry anymore. This man messed his life up in the ministry, and it was obvious that that day that he was needing some help from heaven, and he was not getting that help. And so I remember being in another church, and I don't know how you are. It seems like that there just simply seems to be more going on as far as emotions go and as far as people go when there is singing, and it doesn't happen during the preaching. I'm longing for the day that it'll get on during the preaching and not just get on during the singing, amen? I know we've got someone we sing about, and his name is Jesus. In fact, it's all about him. That's the reason we have a hymn book. It's full of hymns because it's all about him, amen? And so, but here's the thing. You know what he is? He's all about you. Hey, thank God I'm supposed to be all about him, but look what he does. He's all about you and all about me. And so I'm listening to I'll just put it this way, to be kind as I can, I'm listening to a female sing a song. And I began to wonder, there must be, you said it this morning, I must be backslid. Boy, I'm just not getting blessed. I'm not getting anything from this. What is wrong with me? And I began to question myself, because any other time I would have gotten blessed, but I just was not. It was not her voice. It was not the music. I just could not figure out what in the world was wrong with me. And so when she turned and put the microphone down and was going back to the choir from which she came out of, I realized what it was. It was the dress that she had on. It was split from her ankles to her waist. And I couldn't be blessed. I'm just telling you, there are things that go on. I heard Brother Dennis Petty say this same way in a service, and he was wondering what in the world was wrong with him, how everybody could be blessed but himself. And he said the next day, the singing group, the family came home, and anyway, the daddy was with another man. I'll just leave it that way. I'm just telling you, if somebody's heart is right with God, we ought to know it. And if somebody's heart is not right with God, we ought to be able to pick up on that, Brother Lee. You was talking about my spirit bearing witness with their spirit that we are the sons of God. And so here we got to thank God, to Almighty God, that His help is available to me, that His help is available to you as we stand to preach. Thank God we can be clothed with power from on high. And I recommend it to us. I remember listening to the old black preacher as he stood to preach, and as he struggled along just a little bit, finally he said this. He said, "Thank God my help done come." Amen. And so you know when your help gets there, you know when you are standing alone, but thank God when your help's done come, you know when He's there. Amen. And so I thank God for the help from the Holy Spirit. Notice with me, His work on Calvary is finished as far, when He said it is finished, as far as our redemption is concerned. Our redemption was completed, but His work on Calvary is not finished as far as His intercessory work goes. Thank God He's on the right hand of God the Father this morning, making intercession for me and making intercession for you. So His work on Calvary as far as redemption is finished, but His work as far as intercessory prayer goes is still going on today, and thank God will be going on tomorrow also. So we are still getting some good news this morning from a far country. Thank God we have good news from a far country. You'll say, Brother Brown, what is that good news from a far country? Brother Danny, it is this: Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And then it is this, Jesus saves and Jesus keeps. And it is this, Jesus still lives and Jesus is still making intercession for us. And Jesus is still answering prayer on our behalf. And so we are given at least 10 things here in this chapter 4 that is unusual, that these unusual and spiritual gifted men of God, these preachers, this is what is told about them. And so first of all, I want you to look at this. Notice with me, they seized the ministry that the Lord God had given to them. Notice with me, they took hold of this. They laid hold of it. They took advantage to what God had given to them to do. They were obedient to the call of God. And they seized the opportunity. They knew that God had called them. They knew that God had sent them. Not all are preachers. Not all in this building this morning are preachers. But all believers have a ministry. Every believer here today has a ministry. Some will minister to thousands, and some will minister to just a few. But we're all called to be ministers of God. It is not the crowd that counts. It is the calling that God has put on us that counts. First of all, look with me, please, in verse number 1. Verse number 1, notice, and as they spake. What does this tell us? They spake. They spoke. Brother Dave, the word of God with boldness. Now, guess what? I can do that. Guess what? You can do that. We can all speak. Everyone can do that. Just begin by telling someone what Jesus has done for you. Don't you love it? Don't you like that song? Tell the old, old story. Just tell what has happened to you. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Amen. And so he did not save us to see who could keep it the quietest. He saved us to see who would blaze abroad the matter and tell others what it is. You can tell them, but you can show them too. In fact, you can't tell them without showing it. They ought to be able to see it in you. They ought to be able to see it in me, that new life in Christ Jesus. Now, notice with me that Peter did not always take his opportunity. He did not always seize his opportunity. Could I ask you this question? You'll say, Brother Brown, I've always took every opportunity given to me to tell the old, old story. I've never missed a time. Can anybody raise your hand to that? I can't. And Peter could not raise his. But guess what? Paul could raise his hand. Paul could say that he was free from the blood of all men, he had told everybody that he had met about Jesus Christ. And so he just said, let me tell you what happened to me over and over and over again on the Damascus Road. And the blinding light came, and it was Jesus, and he saved me. So, but we need to be conscious of every opportunity that we get and tell others. That's all you got to do. If you've been saved, you've got a testimony. And all you got to do is tell what happened to you. Now notice with me, not only they seize the ministry, but notice with me, secondly, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, they shook up the men. Or the men that they shook up. Who were they? According to verse 1 and verse number 2, they were Sadducees. They did not believe in the resurrection. And if you do not believe in the resurrection, that would make you a Sadducee. You would be sad yourself if you did not believe in the resurrection. And so notice what happened. They did not believe in the resurrection, but notice that they were shaken by the ministry here. Jesus did raise. He did rise from the dead. And these unbelievers needed to hear the message about Jesus going to the cross and about Jesus getting up and becoming victorious over death, hell, and the grave, amen. And when they needed to hear it, they heard it, and it shook them up. And when it shook them up, then they received the hindrances from hell. When the gospel, what is gospel? Good news. When the gospel is preached, it will shake up unbelievers. I went to church and 54 years ago as an unbeliever. I walked in there lost, but thank God I came out of there saved by the glorious grace of God. Amen. And so when the gospel is preached, it will shake up unbelievers. If you're here this morning, well, by the way, I don't know of any churches that doesn't have believers. I don't know of any churches that doesn't have unbelievers and make believers. Huh? There's some, Judas was with the disciples. He was a make-believer. He was a pretender. Huh? And so they are believers, they are unbelievers, and they are make-believers. And if you're here this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful that you heard the truth of the gospel that's already been declared this morning, and you walked out of here saved by the grace of God? You know why? Because Satan hates the gospel. Satan hates the truth. Why? Because he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Wherever there is light, there's going to be bugs. It's that way at my house. Is it that way at your house? You turn on the lights and there's bugs. I just got back from South Georgia and Florida. And I tried my best to let my windows down and leave them mosquitoes and gnats. I tried my best to leave all I could back there. And Daddy used to say, take your floor mats out and shake them. Don't you dare bring me any spurs, sand spurs. I don't need that in my hay that I feed the cows. I don't want that started here. You leave that stuff down there in the sand. Don't bring it up here. And so we need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They needed to hear it. We need to hear it. Look at verse number 3. Let me just, okay, I'm going to quit with this, okay? They noticed they suffered some misery. Look at verse number 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now even tide. So they laid their hands on them. They put them in hold, meaning that they took Peter and John and placed them into prison. But let me say something about that prison compared to any prison that we have. Any prison that we have today, we'd love to go to compared to that prison that they were in. In other words, prison today is really not like prison of this day. And so they were put, the best of men were put into the worst of conditions, Brother Jerry. The worst. And these were the best of the men. There's no such thing, write this down, as a work of God without a work against it. The reason some are not suffering is simple. Because they are not serving. If we are serving, we will be serving. Notice in verse 4, they saw the miracle. Is it worth it? Notice the word in verse number 4, howbeit, in spite of all that was done to silence them, notice they could not put out the fire that was in them. The word of God was heard. Notice, and the word of God was believed. They were bound in prison, but the word of God was not bound. You may bind me, I may bind you, but thank God the word of God will accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. It was free to accomplish what God had sent it out. So the Word of God goes on in spite of all men can do to stop it. It'll knock down every barrier to get to a believing heart. And so, let me just say this and then I'll be finished. Verse number 12, notice they stressed their message. Verse 13, they supplied the marvel. Verse 13, they served the master. Verse 14, they shut their mouths. They could say nothing. Verse number 20, they spake their mind. And the mind of the Lord. Verse 21, they were able to sway the multitude. For all men glorified for that which was done. Amen. Thank God, whenever there are hindrances from hell, we see right here, there always help from heaven. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's make ready.